Welcome back, WNST. Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into a very, very important week here at WNST. It's my birthday week. We're going to be celebrating with a birthday crab cake on Friday at Fadley's of Lexington Market. That's the old market next to the new market. And yes, Fadley's is coming to Catonsville, too, and they're going into the new market. And I'll be giving away Raven Scratch-Off. It's all presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Goodwill. And it's the Halloween season there to get your shopping done, as well as our friends at Window Nation, where you buy two, you get two. 866-90-NATION. I hear Roland barking in the background. So it must be another segment with my friend Leonard Raskin from Raskin Global, who abstained from the game on Sunday night. I do appreciate the offer on the tickets. My wife was asleep in the third quarter and had work to do, and we didn't get stuck in traffic. And, you know, getting thrown out's no fun, but I would rather be there. But all things considered, a good news final, a happy ending in the middle of the night, and at least for a week. And you know what this is like when the market goes up and the market comes down. There's panic, there's freak out everywhere. But much like you managing money, Big John Harbaugh and Justin Tucker and even Lamar at this point, pretty cool, pretty calm, pretty collected. And it looked like a veteran sort of Baltimore-Pittsburgh kind of game, except it was Baltimore and Cincinnati, and our field goal was one better than them, huh?
Hey, one better, Tucker. And here's Roland's nose.
Oh, there's Roland's nose. Okay. And how big's Roland now? We got to get a Roland report.
36 pounds Friday.
Was that dog was 8 pounds when you got it like that?
8.5 in 8 weeks. 20.8 a month ago.
Okay.
36 on Friday at his last vet visit. So he's jumping up the scales pretty quickly.
Well, let me say this. I want to promote this as your dog is barking because my birthday is Friday, and yes, we're going to be at Fadley's, but Saturday is Dog Fest at Be More Humane. So I want to give some love. If you heard the Kate Pika piece out there, Chris's wife, she works for Be More Humane. My wife and I are celebrity judges. So I think it's just perfect that Roland has made his debut here before we've even talked about the other dogs on this defense or offense at this
there
point.
There we go.
Or Justin Tucker or the dogs
or
the Steelers. Of the Cincinnati Bengals or the Steelers.
Or the Steelers or dogs.
But look, for where we were last week and where we are this week, just psychologically, first place, 3-2, Giants, all that, and the Steelers and the Browns aren't coming. This was a huge, huge victory, I think, for morale moving forward over the next month, really.
Wins are always better. Let's face it. The days after wins are always better for the town, for the team, for Harbaugh's press conference. As you said, I skipped the game. Stayed home, watched it, and it was interesting to hear the commentators talking about Harbaugh's decision making and how last week they weren't so sure. And then as the game progressed, let's face it, we had 4th and 1 because our friend Mr. Likely wasn't likely to put his head down and get a first down. So now we had another 4th and 1. We had Mark Andrews lining up behind center, and then they were smart enough to call the timeout and take the points as I was screaming at the television, don't do this again.
Well, situational football, right? Last week's situation, different than this week's situation and how you feel about it. But certainly, John went against his own book, right? Like, went against his own analytics.
I think it hurt. I think it hurt him to do that. Let's face it, earlier in the game, he went for it on a 4th, and they had a wide open, easy touchdown that Lamar overthrew. And at that moment, things didn't look good. And then, I think he went against everything, including his intuition, and said, take the points. And this takes me to the game, the Buffalo game, again, where I say his rationale and what he said after the game was, I thought we could stop him. Blah, 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 blah. But if you thought you could stop them, you take the points, win the game. So you didn't think you could stop them. That was the problem.
Well, let's wake up to where the Bengals are, right? The Bengals drove the length of the field as defending champions on the road against their division rival. Yep. And I've written a big piece at a columnist out of Baltimore Positive this week about how Cincinnati is the new rival. For the time being,
absolutely.
Put Pittsburgh away.
Away. Goodbye.
It's Cincinnati and us right now until Pittsburgh figures themselves out in their quarterback situation.
That's right.
They went down the field and scored the game winner, right? Like they gave the ball to Lamar Jackson and said, we're going to put our defense on the field. We have a 1-point victory. We have built this defense over the last 3 years to not have our ankles broken, to not let him run yards on first down, 12 yards on first down, 15 yards on first down.
And he did.
So to your point, what happened last week where the Ravens say, hey, we'll put our defense on the field. Our defense will be good enough, we think. Cincinnati, I mean, that's really demoralizing to get on the plane after your billion-dollar quarterback goes down there and does enough to win the game, and then you can't get any kind of a stop at all defensively.
And both of these
teams played well defensively all night.
It was a heck of a game. It was a heck of a game. And you know, we talk about it all the time. I watch a lot of games. Saturday and Sunday for me are, you know, a beautiful thing. I get my head back from the week of work. I relax. I do a lot of nothing. I do too much eating.
You eat Pappas crab cakes. I eat
too much, and I watch college football from noon to midnight till I fall asleep on Saturday. And on Sunday, my goodness, we've got London. We're watching at 9 o'clock in the morning till midnight.
Sexy stadium they have at Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah, right? Nice, yeah, nice, very ways, nice, right? Very nice. Never
I'm
been to that
where
place.
We're going to be the next time we go
Germany.
Over. Well, the Munich game is November 13th, and my wife and I came, like, we thought about it. I looked at some flights.
Sure.
Because Niels is over there. His birthday is November 12th. You know, a chance to see the GOAT play over in Europe.
We
didn't do it. We didn't do it. But there's going to come a point where the Ravens are going to go over. And now this week,
that'll
the benefactor, of the Giants coming back. And watching that Giants game was a great preview for what we're going to see this week. That's an improved team, too.
They're going to be great if Barkley's great. Let's face it. He's a wrecking machine, and they're going to be good if he's good. And I was watching other decisions, like, what the heck was the Chargers coach thinking going for it fourth down and two on his 45 when he'd have kicked him back to the 10, they'd have had to go 90 yards for a field goal. And by the grace of God, the Browns kicker Shankopotamus won to the right. I mean, these coaches and these analytics, you got to start thinking some about like football. Okay, the computer tells you this. Well, you know what? I think, I'm not sure, but I think the computer would tell you that, Max Scherzer might beat the Padres, but he didn't. The computer would tell you he's got the edge, but 6 runs later, the Padres said, no, thank you. And
Football Saturday. I was watching baseball Saturday.
The strongest, I have two strong muscles in my body, my jaw and my thumb.
Two for two.
I'm 2 for 2. I eat well. And if you ask my wife, I wear out a clicker. We've only had to get new remotes a couple times for the same TV, you know, so.
It's not just the batteries. Leonard Raskin is here.
No, I'm wearing out
Raskin
the buttons,
Global.
Baby. I'm wearing out the buttons.
You can go to RaskinGlobal.com and learn all about the money management and all that. But we talk about management of the game for both of these coaches and the space for kickers. And you talk about shankopotamuses and guys missing kicks and stuff. It just feels so ridiculously automatic with Tucker, who doesn't have any humility. I mean, God bless him. He's the best in the world, but he knows it. And, you know, whether it's the Rofo chicken or the Rofo coffee or the opera singing or whatever, there is something about his teammates saying the best kicker who ever lived, and then he has to go out there and live that up. Like, he's got a 12-minute package for NBC Today Show on Monday morning. If he misses that kick, the package is a completely different package, right?
Oh, yeah. Sure. And I'll tell you what, I'm sure you saw the meme and I'm sure you know what I'm about to talk about, but everybody was seeing last night. Did you see the analytics of his kick? Did you see that deal?
No, what are you talking about?
So there was a piece put out right after the game. I don't know if it was on the NFL Network or ESPN, one of them somewhere.
Oh, you're talking about that if the goalpost was a foot wide,
he'd have made it. If it was an inch wider than the football, he'd have made it because that kick was dead center of the field. I mean, the guy just goes out there and crushes it.
Unlike that Terps guy the other day, right? Like that was a little.
Well, how about McPherson? Isn't that his name with the extra point?
Well, yeah, the extra point.
That ball went right over the upright. And as Chris Collinsworth said, I know what a doink sounds like. And if that pole was a foot longer, that would have been a doink. That's a strange rule. Yeah, that would have been dead on. Look, I'm wearing my cap shirt. Yep, hockey season starts this week. Okay, regular hockey season starts this week.
Clank.
There is no better sound to a hockey goalie than clank when that puck hits the post. And we've seen doinks and double doinks in this league. There are kickers. Man, it is awesome to listen to Lamar post game and say, I wasn't nervous, but I prayed. and Tucker say he prays for peace when he goes out to kick. He doesn't pray for results.
Well, he's a system kicker, right?
Right. He just goes out and does his job. And I've known Justin for years. Just right after he came to Baltimore, I met him, and I've known him for years. We've broke bread together and had some good times. And the one thing that always amazes me, and I don't know how he does it, is the dude is not tall. The dude is not big. He is a skinny guy. And that leg, the power in his body to kick from, what was it, 58, like it was nothing. Right?
Fast twitch muscles, I think they call them, right?
Whatever it is. I don't know the engineering of the body relative to kicking a football, but he's stunning. He is stunning at kicking that ball. And you're right. He knows it. And look, they paid him. They gave him the highest paid kicker in history because somebody else got a big contract beginning of the season. I don't remember who it was.
I don't even remember. They're paying kickers in the league now. I watched Robbie Gould the other day. I mean, he's been doing it 20 years, does it as well as anybody. And that's the thing for Tucker. He might do this till he's 48. You know what I mean?
Oh, like,
we're watching Tom Brady do this. He'll be a $5 million, $6 million a year kicker at some point when he's 35.
But somebody signed a kicker. I think it was $15 million or $24 million or whatever it was. And the Ravens gave him $1 million more. They wanted to make sure that he was the highest paid kicker in the league. And then I'm checking out Facebook because
Boswell got a 4-year, $20 million deal in Pittsburgh. Gave him a $5 million average salary. Tucker now has a $6 million salary. $17.5 million guaranteed.
Tucker, as well he should. And so now. I'm watching TV and I'm checking out the Facebook during the game and people are posting, don't pay Lamar. He's not worth it. He's overthrowing wide receivers wide open. And then he takes the ball at the end of the game, 2-minute drill, runs through the Bengal defense, wins me dinner in a nice friendly bet with my Cincinnati friends. Which I lost last year, by the way, so I get to make it up.
When
this
you lose,
year.
You have to eat their chili. Don't do that.
Oh,
you don't want to lose
Skyline
that.
Skyline chili is not good. I don't know what it is about that, but I don't like it. It's
indigestion on a plate, is what it is.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. It's not good. Not good.
Not like a crab cake.
It's not like Grater's ice cream. If we bet Grater's ice cream now, that's good stuff.
Okay. Yeah, we do that. Get a little salted caramel in there. All that. Yeah. By the way, Tucker. How old is Tucker? Do you know? I mean, he always feels like he's 21. He's not. He's been here 10 years.
I think he's like 33, right?
He will be 33 at the end of next month.
Yeah,
so me saying he's going to make $6 million a year when he's 35, he's already in line for that.
He'll
be making $6 million a year when he's 42, right? Because he's going to be able to do this for a long time.
Yeah. So now I'm watching on the game, the NBC game, and some fan, I'm sure you saw it, brought a blank check. Big check they posted on
with Bisciotti's name on it. Yeah.
With Bisciotti's name and payable to Lamar. And it was a blank check. It was just a blank. Let Lamar fill it in. And boy, I'm telling you, the announcers, again, what I really like Al Michaels.
Oh, Tirico was doing the game.
Tirico. Yeah, I think Tirico's okay. He's just such a generalist. He doesn't He doesn't just do it for me for football. Al Michaels and Collinsworth, I thought, were great. I like Al Michaels on Thursday night with Kirk Herbstreit. I really like Kirk. He's really good. He knows his stuff. Well, and talking about being prepared and getting paid, I don't know what it is, but that dude is getting paid. He just a quick aside, he did Thursday night NFL, and he is prepared as any color commentator that I've ever heard. I mean, the dude knows football. And then 9 o'clock Saturday morning, he's on ESPN College Game Day, 9 to noon. And that was in Kansas because Kansas was going into the game against TCU undefeated. So he's in Kansas for 3 hours. He leaves there, jumps on a plane, and at 4 o'clock, he's broadcasting Ohio State, Michigan State in Lansing. It's unbelievable.
That's right up there with Kenny Albert, my buddy last week, Ian Eagle. You know, a lot of these guys. Hey, I'm Dan Horta had on last week. He calls the Bearcats on Saturday with Cincinnati. He calls the Bengals on Sunday. I mean, up in Jimmy Brandstatter up in Detroit was doing Lions games and Michigan games. I mean, that's so crazy old school. That's kind of crazy. I would agree with you.
The fact that Kirk was Thursday night NFL, again, like you said, Saturday morning, 9 to noon. I don't think it's a quick flight from Kansas to Michigan, but he got there and he's suited up and ready to do the 4 o'clock game. And so I'm listening to these guys on the Ravens broadcast, and man, they're loving on Lamar. They are loving on Lamar. They just think he is the greatest player in football right now. And I think he's phenomenal, and they're ready to write Bishotti's check for 250 guaranteed, I think. But we all know the league is got to be pushing him back, saying you can't do this. But every week, win or lose, Lamar is doing it. He missed two passes, but
drive
he is
was
doing
interesting.
It.
Leonard Raskin is here. He is Raskin Global. You can find him at RaskinGlobal.com. Making your American dreams come true, taking care of your money, taking care of your finance, make sure you got your insurance, your wills, all that important stuff together for a lifetime. That's the way to find Leonard. But we'll stay on football. We did a lot of that last week, your Crab Cake Tour, and you can go listen to Leonard. Go to Leonard's new spot, his new picture up, Baltimore Positive. He looks handsome. Lamar gets the ball with two minutes left. 1 point game, right? And the Bengals have built their football team for the last 3 years for this spot to say, we're not going to, first off, they used to think he wasn't good enough to pass it. Then there was the thought of where's the offensive line and Marshall Yonda is gone and where's Ronnie Stanley and who are the skill position players and Bateman's not there and Hollywood's out in Arizona and all that. But in the end, stopping him from running and breaking the ankles and all the things that happened 3 years ago in Cincinnati that really, as I talked to everybody last week in Cincinnati, I said that breaking of the ankles, that embarrassment when I was sitting in the press box in Cincinnati 4 years ago, people were laughing out loud about his antics on the field. That's exactly what the Bengals have spent 11 months of an offseason trying to make sure doesn't happen, that they could contain this. And yet he ran wild on the last drive. I mean, the last
and
drive
run,
looked more like 2019, looked more like Lamar left, Lamar right, Lamar into the scene, completely unafraid to run the ball.
And Lamar determined that his feet and his arm were going to make it happen. He threw to Andrews. When he took off to the right and ran that ball, if he hadn't tripped over Duvernay's foot, he might have been gone. Yeah. He might have been gone. I mean, he was moving left to right like a video game. He was dancing like a video game. It was unbelievable. And yeah, all they did to stop that from happening and happened. That's what the dude's about. He's going to get paid. He's going to put that in the bank. He's going to be a very happy young man. He's going to set his lineage descendants up financially forever. And he's just a football player.
What's the first thing you tell him to do with money? He comes to you and says, I got $232 million guaranteed. What do you do with that kind of dough? Like, and I guess it's probably a good question if you win the lottery this week. My wife, the jackpots are $500 million. What do you do with that money when he calls you? Because clearly he's talked a lot about God and spirituality and being happy and the eternal kingdom. He was tweeting about all that. I said to my wife, we all concern ourselves with his money. Right.
Yeah.
And he's pretty flippant about like saying, what do you all care about my money? Like, exactly. What do you care about whether I sign or whether I break my leg? As long as your football team wins, what do you care about my money? And I said to my wife, the kid's already got $40 million, right?
Like, that's right.
It's not
that's
like, right. I mean, if I came to you with $40 million right now and said I have a chance to get to $232 million, you'd say to me, you can do pretty good with the $40 million
you're
got.
You're doing okay.
And Lamar's not going to eat differently, drink differently. His heirs of heirs of heirs when he gets this $200 million, whatever it is. But we do, as the public, concern ourselves with how much money Bruce is making on the tour, right?
Absolutely. Everybody wants to know what somebody else is doing with their money. And in this case, it's obviously super public because that's the way the league is and that's the way the contracts are. It didn't used to be that way for sure. You knew who the big guy was that made a lot of money. Now you can look and see how much everybody makes and everybody knows what everybody makes. And it's like you said, everybody thinks people, well, first of all, other than Lamar, everybody thinks people make more than they make. When you see somebody that's a quote unquote celebrity, athlete, whatever, let's not kid ourselves. Lamar is going to be the top of the top. He's going to be right up there with the highest paid ever in sports of any kind. And the first thing I tell him to do, and I think, like you said, he's already in that place. The man has a purpose for his life. The big question is, what is the money for? What is the purpose that you want to do with this money that's bigger than the money itself? And based on that, then we talk about what to do with it, because it's easy to know what to do with it. If his goal is church, charity, philanthropy, he may choose to give a lot of that away over his lifetime. He may choose to leave a legacy to charity and not so much potentially future to family. I don't know Lamar's situation. The first thing I would do, obviously, is find out everything there is to know about his situation. So I don't know if the man's married or not. I don't know if he has children or not. You know, all of that comes into play with when you have money, what to do with it. We work with people that are single, married with no kids, married with grown kids, married with little kids. And every one of those, like you talked about, the game situation of this week, last week, the game situation of what to do with your money depends very much on your station in life, what your purpose is, what you're trying to accomplish. So that's the first thing I'd find out. Second thing I would do is make sure that we avoid taxes at all costs. The greatest eroding factor for wealth is our government. They take way too much of the money. If you saw Tyreek Hill, I believe it was, just last week, said had to make an adult decision between playing for the Jets and the Dolphins, and income taxes in New York had a big bearing on that. You know, $5 million a year is a big deal.
And that's not lost on Lamar Jackson, where that Tampa Bay job's going to be open. The Miami job could be open, appears to be. Like, that is my concern for Lamar.
That's my
with the prettier
too.
Girl and the fact that he's not signed. It has nothing to do with Bisciotti or DaCosta or the division or the bad weather or whether he likes crab cakes or not. This to me is, if he gets to a freedom space or a dictation space at the end of the year to say, I'm done with you guys. I love you. I appreciate it. You had your chance to wed me. You didn't want to wed me. I want my freedom. I'm an NBA guy. I'm a modern guy. Yep. You know,
that's right. You know what?
That should be with 11 games left on the docket or 12.
They should
games
be working
left,
it.
They should be worried about that.
You know what they should be doing? Here's what the Ravens should be doing. And it wouldn't be bad for everybody, but it would be great for Baltimore and the Ravens. Steve Bisciotti should be having lunch with Wes Moore. And he should be talking to him about eliminating state income tax.
There you go.
Know,
all right.
Here's the thing. The city, let me tell you about the city. And this you know. The city, every now and then in Baltimore, a new building goes up, right? There's a new building being built, a new office building, a new hotel, whatever. What is the new Harbor East? What is that, what the new area is?
Port
all that?
Covington.
Port Covington. Okay. How about M&T Bank Stadium or Oriole Park at Camden Yards? You know this as well as anybody. The state and Baltimore give away to wealthy people property tax breaks for years. Oh, we're going to build this stadium. It's going to be for the Ravens, but your property taxes are $1 a year for 50 years. You know how much money they're foregoing on that deal to give Steve Bisciotti millions of dollars.
Well, we're at that point right now with the baseball team and the lease. I mean, that's why Bisciotti doesn't want me asking questions. That's why he's happy I'm
throwing. But here's my point.
They don't want to add charity for the wealthy, which is
right.
Literally.
This
I
is
ran
what
into
is.
John Morgan the other day, by the way. You probably remember John Morgan from the 1990s.
Yep.
He was the writer who wrote Glory for Sale when Modell came here. We had a sports writer event over the weekend, and he's still like, these owners are still ripping people off. Then they're
absolutely.
Now, we got purple boas on, and we're all happy to be rooting for Lamar.
Look,
Steve Bisciotti's ripping off people.
Here's the way it goes.
Literally,
these owners
are ripping people off. Yeah,
dude, sports, pro sports, college sports, high end is the greatest transfer of wealth from the have-nots to the haves in history. I mean, people spend fortunes on merchandise that go right to the owner's pocket at the end of the day. So here's my thing. He should be talking to Wes Moore, and they should, if they can't get state income tax relief for everybody in the state, which would be brilliant, he should be petitioning Wes Moore to pass a bill in the state legislature to have no state income tax for Lamar's contract.
No, I don't think that would go over. That wouldn't smell good in Annapolis.
Come on. You kidding me? In our state legislature, they wouldn't. And look, we've talked about this. We have tax-free shopping week. Why? Because it's great for consumers and great for the merchants. Well, then why don't we have tax-free shopping year like they do in Delaware? Because we don't. We have income tax rates that are high, almost as high as anybody in the country.
This is the citizen in me that would say, you know what they'll do? They'll just tack more money onto the tolls. They'll tack more money on
the fees.
They'll tack more money onto other things.
See, these are usury things. I'm all for usury taxes. I got no problem with alcohol tax, tobacco tax, sales tax. I can choose what I buy. But if I want to earn and earn as much as I can for my labor, why am I giving a portion of that to the state? There's other ways for the state to make money. I'm happy the tolls are high. You know what? For every toll that's high, there's another road you can take that has no toll. Just might take you an extra 10 minutes. So you pay for convenience. Look, I hate to say it, but sometimes I speed and I get speed camera tickets. That's a price I pay for speeding. As a matter of fact, I got one in France and it came to me all in French. So it's the price you pay. But there are other ways. There are lots of states. We've talked about this before. Lots of states that don't have an income tax. And the Tennessee Titans and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would love to have Lamar be their quarterback. And you got a year. You got a year to keep him as a franchise tag, right? Then he gets 50 or 60.
Yeah, okay. I mean,
and then he's gone. So if you don't sign him, if you don't find a way to sign him, and as I said to you before,
the only way he leaves is if he holds out. That there has to be acrimony for him to leave at this
point. Right. So what they have to do is say, okay, we were going to give you 250. We're going to give you 275. The last 25 of which pays the tax on the 250. So you don't have to think about it.
That's going to have to be that way. I mean,
it's going to have to.
Well, and you follow Tariq Hill. People talk about Lamar, money. You got to talk to grownups about this, because Lamar, as much as he's perceived as being, you know, a neophyte in this, Lamar knows the tax situation in Florida.
Lamar knows. And they sprinkled in on the broadcast that his mother's helping him a little bit. Now, I don't know about his mom.
If Lamar can count 12 guys out on the defense and snap the ball to get the penalty, Lamar can count his money.
You better believe it. And he understands if you're at that level and you're representing yourself and you don't understand income tax, shame on you. Shame on you. So I think he does. And there was a guy years ago, I don't remember exactly who it was. It might have been Michael Irvin or Marvin. It was one of the receivers. I remember that. One of the receivers years ago signed his contract in Florida because he thought by signing the contract in Florida and being a Florida resident, he could avoid income taxes. And the state, wherever he played, said, no, it doesn't work that way. You still play here. You still pay your taxes here. But he tried.
Well, the baseball teams have gotten into this too. When you play three games in Chicago and you're an Oriole, they're coming for your salary because you earn
that money in
Illinois.
You have to pay taxes as a professional athlete in every state you play in.
Right.
So if you play in Florida, you got eight games, half your season is tax-free. And the other half, you're going to have some higher, some lower. Go play in California or New York where the taxes are 13%. Okay, the government's going to take 13% of your income for you to entertain their fans and bring them a Super Bowl or whatever it may be. So, yeah, money comes into play with everything. But I would tell him, make sure he understands tax law. And, away we go. We'll find out what happens next.
Let her ask in, and we'll be what happens next is the New York Giants happen at 1
New
o'clock.
We'll be football at, Giants.
We will be at MetLife this week. On Friday, we're going to be celebrating my birthday. I turned 54. It's kind of – I'm just privileged to have made it this long.
Tuesday, buddy. I'm Tuesday. Remember, I'm Tuesday.
Well, the Libra people, are happy birthday to you. We'll have a – I'm having a crab cake at Fadley's on Friday. We'll be there broadcasting, doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Giving away Raven Scratch also. Got a $20,000 top prize on this one. Had a $20 winner at Cooper's North 2 weeks ago as well. We'll be there from 9 until noon. It's all brought to you by our friends at Goodwill, as well as Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. Buy two, you get two free. Do what I did. Window Nation. Big thumbs up on them. Big thumbs up on Leonard Raskin as well, who bought me some crabs a couple weeks ago. I'm sure we're going to get a crab cake for our birthdays at some point here before the month is over. It's always good to visit with you. Always good after a victory, and certainly exhale.
Absolutely.
Just
absolutely.
Exhale a little bit, right?
Thank God for Tucker. That's what
3-2. First place Baltimore Ravens. Loose out at Owings Mills all week long. Leonard's out on the front of BaltimorePositive.com, looking particularly dapper now that Jessica Vallis and our friends at Hartford Designs have re-souped up the new and improved BaltimorePositive.com. Stay with us.